Good evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, June 10th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, proudly supported by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, Michelob Ultra, and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel, and check us out on Spotify on the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I'm Christian Champ Sharp, part of your Clubhouse crew tonight, joined shortly by my mother, by my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharp's there. Easy to say after you've been chugging down some Champa Bays and some tacos tonight down here at Ferg's, 13th and Central. Come down and join us. We got a full action-packed show for the next hour as we prep the patrons for the third major of the U.S. of the season 2025. I can't believe we're already in June, halfway there, third major. This is going on the back end of the stretch here for the U.S. Open. Obviously, the mecca of open qualifiers. Anybody and their brother, if you can make it into this field, you can. We got dentists, we got realtors, we got UPS drivers, we got all the sorts of play, former caddies at the course. Plenty of things that Sammy will break down for us in the patio preview. We're also going to look back at the Canada north of the border there, as we not only look at the demolishing of the Edmonton Oilers last night. Ouch, that one hurt by the Florida Panthers there. But also looking back at the Canadian Open there, winner by Ryan Fox in a playoff over Sam Burns. And obviously we're going to be going over the U.S. Open. And then last 15 minutes, stick around. We got to give a shout-out to our guy Bob Bauer. Just continues to be fire on the horse track there. Talk about his big win on Saturday, along with some MLB action. Rays red hot lately as probably the best team in baseball, without a doubt there. We'll talk about those guys as they're back up in Fenway tonight in game two of their three-game series. Also taking NHL and NBA playoffs. They got the night off tonight, so you can kind of focus in, turn that radio up a little bit on Radio St. Pete. Listen to me and Sammy break down action in both of those series there, Wednesday and Thursday coming back in there. So plenty of action there. And while I get Sammy on the clubhouse line here, on the phones there, head on over to www.thebetterclubhouse.com, B-E-T-T-O-R, clubhouse.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletters. You're going to get access to all of our newsletters this week. We've got plenty of major content there for the U.S. Open, stats, insights, nuggets, course previews, player insights, models, all the stuff that you can come to into the clubhouse and get from us at on our newsletters there at thebetterclubhouse.com. We usually only do three newsletters, but for major weeks, we go all out every day providing content to the patrons there. Go on www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Hit us up on all our social media as well, X and Instagram, and even TikTok as well. Let us know the bets that you bet on. Hopefully, we made you some money. We definitely have all the models that have been hitting around it, and looking forward to just another great show. www.thebetterclubhouse.com. And now, without further ado, let's welcome in the man, the myth, the legend himself. Sammy, how are we doing into the welcome into the clubhouse tonight? It's just 2 days before Christmas in June, I'll call it, and the U.S. Open. How are we feeling tonight?
Feeling really good, Champ. Thanks for having me in. Excited for another show here. Excited to see this beast of a course that we call Oakmont. And this tournament usually is low scoring relative to the other tournaments on the PGA Tour. So I'm excited to see these guys struggle, to be honest with you. I want to see it hurt. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to get into it with you. We've got a lot of stats and information here, not only for golf, but other sports as well. So we got a jam-packed hour here. I think we should just get right into it.
Yeah, without a doubt it. I mean, if you don't know about Oakmont and you haven't seen the videos out there of people dropping balls in the grass and the dirt and the rough and all that good stuff and the greens, there was even a putt from the fairway on one that we'll have to get into as well. But before we do that,
122-yard putt.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good to hit it within a definitely, I mean, one gimme range, definitely on these greens that are going to be up there 15. But we'll get into all that and Oakmont and everything up there in Steeler Nation for, I mean, I guess it's just all Steelers coming up there, obviously, with A-Rod putting on the number 8 there. So we'll have to talk a little bit of that as well. But before we do that, let's pay some homage to last week. A new course, TPC Toronto for the RBC Canadian Open there. Joe, can you hit the applause there? Because, I mean, just the... We might not have hit a winner, but I would say that hot fire take of that player deep dive of Rory McIlroy, if you haven't seen it or you haven't read it, go out and do it. I mean, pat on the back there, Sam. You couldn't hit that one even better there. I mean, right in the screws, dead set. I mean, he was, what, 5 from DFL there? Go out and check that out on thebetterclubhouse.com. But just what are your overall thoughts outside of, I think we can ship TPC Toronto to the moon. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to ship it to the moon, but I don't think they're going to, listening to the other talking heads in the space, especially the ones that live in Canada. I think they're making TPC Toronto, quote-unquote Toronto, even though it's not in Toronto, the headquarters of PGA Canada. So it's going to be there next year. And I think they're keeping St. George's in the mix, but I think we're going to see a good bit of TPC Toronto for the next decade, if you will. And I was excited for that tournament last week. I thought I was going to play a little bit harder. We said minus 15 would be the winning score. It turned out to be minus 18 in the playoff. So we weren't too far away from there. But, I mean, the leaderboard, Ryan Fox, Sam Burns, Kevin Yu, Matt McCarty, Cam Young, Benny Ahn, Mateo Montecero, Andrew Putnam, David Skins. Like, what? Like, these guys, like, the week before a major, it wasn't very compelling. I can't say I watched a ton of it. We had some one and done in one of our contests with Lowry. He kind of fell by the wayside in the last round. Sam Burns made a charge, and for somebody who's as good of a putter as Sam Burns, he had a chance to win it with a 5 or 6 footer, and he didn't. So interesting there. Cam Young seemed to ride his momentum from the U.S. qualifier. He actually had an eagle putt, or had a look at eagle to win the tournament. He kind of overshot the hole on his second shot, but interesting tournament. I mean, there's not much to say about it. I mean, the leaderboard was, we had like, what, 20, 30 guys, maybe even 35, 40 guys that were 10 under or better. So quite different than what we're going to see this week.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think after that round one, right, we had I had Shane Lowry, first-round leader selection that I had bet on, looked good. I mean, he was charging up there 9 under. He had a great, I feel like that afternoon wave. We had a couple guys, Sam Burns, I put up there as well. First round leader, but I didn't bet in full tournament. So there you go. Saved you guys the heartbreak of a missed 5 foot putt in a playoff. You can thank me for that one there. But when I even look at the scoreboard there, I just think it's a lot. I mean, when I look at top 5 finishers of last week, all 4 out of 5 finished in top 10 in putting. I mean, it just wasn't really a tee to green specialist there. Number one tee to green actually finished T6. So, I mean, it was just a weird course. I will say it was a wide range of people up there at the top. Ryan Fox, definitely a long hitter. Cameron Young, long hitter. Benny Ahn, long hitter. But then you have Andrew Putnam up there. Montecello's up there. Obviously, Cam Champ, as you mentioned there. But there are some names that were in the field that just didn't play well, right? I mean, Ludvig Åberg played well all 4 days. So we're curious to see if he can build on that momentum there. Rory McIlroy did not. So, I mean, it is the week before a major. I am not excited to see it again next year, but I will take the stats. I will try to balance that out. Top 10 did not have a great week, but that's to be expected from a course that we just didn't know how it was going to play. There was a lot of discrepancies, long course, longer hitters, shorter hitters. I watched day one, and that was about it for me as I prep for the U.S. Open this week. So we'll see how it plays next year, see who actually is in the field. One thing that I will mention, it is a RBC sponsored event, so keep an eye on those RBC ambassadors as they are on tour. One of those guys, as I mentioned to Sammy early in the week, is Sam Burns, and I mentioned Sam Burns as well. I mean, most notably, I got a flyer in the mail, and it was for a crematory introduction, and I said, hey, maybe Sam Burns this week, and what do you know, he pops up there. So we'll have to see what's in the mailer this week, and have to see what's going on there, but just looking forward to really U.S. Open, and happy to see Canada up there, but I think we gave it more than it's due this week. So, Sammy, why don't we want you to take the patrons out onto the patio this week?
Yeah, real quick, I wanted to mention the hot take on Rory. He, per the database that I use, he lost strokes to the field in every single category: off the tee, approach, around the green, putting, tee to green. I'm scrolling through his tournaments. I see some tournaments where he's lost all but one category, but I don't see any measured events where he's lost across the board. So uncharted territory for Rory. He's been talking about how squirrely his driver's been and how he's trying to work to fix it. He's playing a TaylorMade driver this week. I don't know how much experience he has with it, but he's acknowledged that his driver is not where he wants it to be. He's also lost strokes on approach in three straight events now. So interesting spot for Rory after as the Masters hangover kind of continues there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think on social media, people are starting to compare Rory to Bryson again, right? Same sort of stuff we saw at Augusta. Man, look at this guy. This guy's happy and doing all this stuff for golf. And then you have this guy that's pouting and doing all that. I don't know. I think the media just likes to do that. But yeah, I mean, who would have predicted that Rory McIlroy would not make the cut? That'd be the Better Clubhouse crew here. Go back and check out our newsletter there. Wrote all about it in our deep dives. That's all for free there as well. We support our data and our content there. Feel free to go back in the archives. We're going to get plenty of things wrong, but what I can say is we are 3 for 3, Sammy, on telling you who's not going to win, and these people have not been anywhere close to the front of the leaderboard. So stick around as me and Sammy tell you a name or two that just don't be, I mean, just not going to make the cut in the 60-man field event this week for the U.S. Open.
Let me ask you, how do you approach majors weeks? Do you do anything different in your preparation? Do you maybe have like bigger betting cards or increased exposure to daily fantasy? Do you do anything different at all, or is it just status quo for you?
I mean, I'm not in front of the presser and doing that and say, man, it's just another week out here. I'm happy to be here. I mean, obviously you get the stories from the U.S. Open. There's a dentist out there. There's plenty of feel-good stories. The high school kid that shot 18 under over 36 holes. But for majors, I think you have to dig into the major history. I mean, it is a tournament. This is how guys are ranked, or their prestige of their career is based on how many majors they win and how they play in these events. Some people, players play really well in them. Some not so much. It is where the spotlight shines bright. It's not, obviously, you got 150 players this week. A lot of them are amateurs or coming in or qualified. So in my model, I've only got 85 of those stats from the PGA Tour. Just shows the big wide range of players this week. I mean, if there's one tidbit that I would love that I should do, and I should do what I say and not say what I do here, hopefully you're doing that as you're picking winners, because it's been quite a while for me on that front. But what I will say is go out and find players that are in that form, about to play well into the major. Don't be paying these prices that you see right now. Hopefully you can get a better number, just like Sammy did for Rory at Augusta or any of these other spots or a lot of places where that's my only thing is probably bet it ahead of the time. I just don't do it. But yeah, I mean, obviously you want the exposure of a major tournament, a lot of contests out there, a lot of bragging rights within your buddies. But this week it's no holds barred, right? I mean, it's going to be brutal. It's going to be ugly. It's hard to even score on DraftKings and fantasy sports. But yeah, that's it for me. What about you, Sammy? There, are you unloading the clip, as they say, on the bank account this week?
So I think for the Masters, I'm more comfortable doing that. I'll maybe go all in on my takes and what I think is going to happen. But on these majors with rotating courses, especially when we haven't been to a course like this in 10 years, and there's not really a true comp course for Oakmont.
Yep.
It's a beast in and of itself. I look to play players at their floor rather than their ceiling, which is what I kind of do for the Masters. So a little bit of different approach, kind of major by major.
Yep.
But this week, I think we've got a solid take and a good way to go about it for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great actual segue there, not only to that, but also, like, we trust our model, right? On this show, we give you statistical analysis of why we didn't like Rory last week and why we like certain players this week. Last week, we had no history of that course, first time debut. This time, the last time we saw this course was 2016, right? They've even had a redo and a course design there. And so, I mean, I would totally agree with that. I do love my U.S. Open model and the way I've done that. So I do have a history going back 7 years on that. But yeah. Like, of course, compare that to a course next week at the Travelers. We've seen that course. It's always played at the same place. That's where we probably want to invest a lot of our more money. But it's a major season, and we love golf. We love this crazy game, and we try to predict it there. And if you love us, you'll stick around, as this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Virk Sports Bar and Grill down here, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of the old gray lady with her top off. We call that Tropicana Field down here in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on down. Try out our $3 taco night. Wash it down with an ice pick, vodka, Champa Bay. That's my pregame prep every single week as I get fired up to give you some hot takes and try to figure out a winner there. Plenty of TVs. Like I said before, NHL and NBA taking the night off. But we got plenty of MLB action. First pitch of the Rays just underway at Fenway. Really looking forward to that matchup. And just talk about those Rays a little bit. 15-3 last 18 games. Best of the majors there. Their playoffs. If you go back and listen to probably three or four episodes, I mean, I was in the dumps there as far as their odds there. I think it was around 15-20%. Joe, you'll like this one. We are up to 60% for the Rays to make the playoffs, projected 86-76. And they even got the eighth best chance to win the title this year, obviously, with the Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets taking over 50% of those shares right now. And I got to give a shout-out to the Colorado Rockies, currently 12-53. How do you like these numbers, Joe? Projected 44 wins, 118 losses on the season. Ouch. Hey, Joe, cover your ears on this one as we had to pour one out for our beloved Florida State Seminoles on Sunday, dropping game three to the Oregon State there in the Super Regionals, falling just a win shy of going back to Omaha, as Peyton Manning would say, Omaha, and the College World Series there. Luckily, they did us a favor there, Joe. We didn't have to sweat it out. They melted bad game one on Friday night. But Sunday, it was over before you know it there, Sammy. They hit a grand slam first inning. It was seven runs early on, just a bloodbath. But shout-out to them. Great season. Looking forward to that. Maybe if you're looking for some action, we got USA Men's Friendly Soccer on TNT, 8 o'clock. Anything catch your eye tonight, Sammy, on that people and the patrons might look out for?
Yeah, so I also want to shout out the Murray State Racers heading to the College World Series, I believe, from the Missouri Valley Conference. I think I read somewhere that their coach cuts their grass on the field, and their stadium only holds 800 people, so really good for them. Also, on the front of the Rays, I have a MLB system that I created this year that's 35-17 so far this year. It was on the Rays last night when they won 10-8. But tonight, unfortunately, it's against the Rays. What it is fading teams who scored 10-plus runs when their opponents scored less than 10 runs. Again, 35-17, 67% win percentage, 10% ROI. So Giolito's pitching for the Rays. I think it's only his third or fourth start this season. The Rays have a .16 lifetime ERA, or a batting average against him. Small sample size. But I will say, if anyone's going to do damage against him, I think it's going to be Yandy Diaz. So keep an eye out for that. Also, I want to shout out the French Open final. I don't know if you saw that or caught that. Sinner versus Alcaraz. Absolutely electric. 5.5-hour match. Alcaraz was actually down to his match point, down two sets to love. Came all the way back to win it in the fifth set there. Many say that was one of the best tennis matches in recent memory. I tend to agree. It was pretty crazy to watch.
Even that women's final on Saturday was dynamite too, with Coco Gauff, yeah. The American there, winning her second major title. My daughters were enjoying it as Sabalenka would just yell out these streaks and like, who the hell is making all this noise? And then the Coco wouldn't do anything but make sound wise. But yeah, great French Open. Shout out to tennis. We love that. Great shout out there. But yeah, the women's and the men's with both electric finals. Go check those out for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. The men's U.S. soccer is in play this tonight. It's a friendly against the Swiss. Honestly, I'm not sure if it's worth watching because a bunch of our starters decided they didn't want to partake in the friendlies, which Landon Donovan kind of was pretty upset about. And I think he has a point. I mean, if U.S. wants to return to any sort of presence in the World Cup, they need the players to take it more seriously. But let's shift gears, Champ. I know we don't want to talk about tennis and soccer all night. We want to talk about golf. So let's get into the patio preview for Oakmont Country Club here, just outside of Pittsburgh. Fun fact here, the Pennsylvania Turnpike actually pretty much runs through this course, which is an interesting dynamic. But It's the 10th time the U.S. Open is played at this venue, which is the most of any course in the U.S. Open rotation. First time played here since Dustin Johnson won at -4 in 2016. He actually carded a -5, but I think he had a penalty stroke there for the ball moving on the green when he was addressing it. Only four players were under par that year. Two players were at even par. Weather was a significant advantage at a delay to the event, made it a little bit softer. So if we get some drier conditions this year, I wouldn't be surprised. The line is at -2 for a winning score. I would be shocked if we saw more than three or four guys at even par or below. So 30-ish players that were in that field in 2016 are playing again this year. An interesting note, Scotty was an amateur in that event. He shot a 69 in round one, but he followed it up with a 78, and he missed the cut by one stroke. Henry Founce designed this course, one-hit wonder, 1903, only course he designed, and he made it as hard as he possibly could. We'll get into that in a second here, but this course hosted the U.S. Amateur event in 2021, and actually there's three or four guys in this field that were in that event that are playing. Bridgman, Gerard, Highsmith, all of those guys were in the field in 2021. There was a restoration by Gil Hans that just intended to bring it back to its original design. They expanded the greens, restored some bunkers, redesigned some holes, updated some drainage systems and irrigation systems. They lengthened the course and removed some trees. It's a par 70, roughly 7,400 yards. It's a full field event, 150-plus players. As you mentioned earlier, top 60 in ties make the cut. The greens are POA greens, East Coast POA greens, different than those West Coast POA greens. Average size is 8,000-plus square feet, but it varies by hole. Some of the holes, you know, there's a 5,500-square-foot green, and then there's a green that's almost 12,000 square feet. So they're oddly shaped, surrounded by deep bunkers. There's ample runoff, false fronts, and a ton of movement on these greens. They should run very fast. I was reading somewhere between 14 and 15 on the stint meter, which is crazy. There's no water, 200-plus bunkers, including the church pew bunkers, which literally look like church pews. They sit between the third and fourth fairways. They're about 100 yards long. Honestly, too, it's better to be greenside in those bunkers greenside than it is the rough, because the rough is absolutely insane here. It's long, it's thick, and it's penal. They cut it to 5 inches, I think, on Sunday, and I don't think they're cutting the grass again after Monday or today. I saw some videos of guys cutting grass, but there's four par threes. They range from 182 to, get this, 290 yards. Guys were hitting driver on a par three today in practice, so that's interesting. 12 par fours ranging from 312 to 507 yards. Some of them are scoring holes, but some of them are double bogey holes. There's only two par fives. Both of them are over 610 yards. Number 12 is 630 yards plus, and they're not going to have many guys hitting the green in two, if any. I mean, Bryson, Rory, maybe a guy like Minwoo Lee, but other than that, I don't see it. There's multiple blind tee shots here, a wide variety of approach shots. Some of the lies in the fairway are angled. Sometimes you're shooting downhill at a green that undulates away from you. Sometimes you're shooting uphill at a green that has a false front coming back to you. It's just crazy, this course. It's toughest four-hole stretch in the last two U.S. Opens here were holes 7 through 10, and that includes that 290 par 3. Course demands creativity on approach shots, given the complex layout and the accuracy, given the rough here. It's a bigger advantage to be in the fairway than it is longer down the fairway. So just missing the green by a couple – or excuse me, just missing the fairway by a couple yards here is probably going to be the most penal. In 2016, they had a gradual increase in rough length from the fairway to the rough. This year, it's just pretty much instantly mega thick and long rough. So – the advantage is going to be for the guys that miss the fairway, like by a wide margin, where they're hitting out of areas where it's been trampled down by the gallery. Just because the course is so hard, don't be surprised to see a random leaderboard in round one, like we saw at Quail Hollow, but expect the cream to rise throughout the weekend. expect Scotty to come up the leaderboards throughout the weekend. Last year, Bryson won the U.S. Open at minus six. Actually, the last three of the last four winners of the U.S. Open scored a minus six. The only one that scored better than a minus six was Wyndham in 2023 at LACC. He scored a minus 10. They're not getting a minus six this week, in my opinion. What do you think?
No, I mean, this is the 10th time playing it at Oakmont. I think Golf Digest just ranked the top 100 courses in the in the U.S., and Oakmont was number four on that list. We'll drop that list in there, too. But, yeah, I mean, Dustin Johnson back 2016, minus four. Angel Cabrera, 2007, was plus five. That's just diabolical there. But, yeah, I mean, I think even par. They asked the golfers this week, would you take even par? And a lot of them said yes. They also said, what would the average 18 handicapper, so bogey golfer, what would they shoot? Justin Thomas, I don't know where he came up with 110. I don't see anybody coming anywhere close to 110 for a bogey golfer. I think the most realistic was a golfer saying they wouldn't finish, right? I think you would just be stuck in the rough there. Sammy, you actually had a great I know you reached out to somebody who had some local ties to Oakmont. Just give them a little brief story of just trying to get out of this gnarly 6-inch rough around Oakmont.
Yeah, so I actually have two people that I know that are from the Pittsburgh area. Both of them have ties to Oakmont. The first being my friend Steph here that I went to college with. Her cousin, I don't know if he's a member at Oakmont or just plays it semi I don't know, regularly, but he's played it a couple times here. And I'll read the text. Winner's going to have to hit the fairways, no doubt about that. When they do hit it in the rough or any of those pot bunkers, don't be a hero. Just smart iron shots off the tee. And 17 is a hole where you, if you need to gain some strokes, hit it with a driver, go for the green. But no, there's a boatload of trouble left and right, so you better be perfect. It's like that on multiple holes, really, from what I gather from the flyover. Fairways, 100%, the most important statistic this week, along with greens and regulation. Whoever has the highest percentage of those is going to win the tournament, just like DJ in 2016. Also, he mentioned that they need to do their best to be below the hole, which I thought was fascinating, but I also agree with because there's a ton of runoff on the back of these greens. And then I reached out to my buddy Ryan, his first job ever was caddying at Oakmont. And it's interesting because Ryan's not a golfer, but his first job was caddying at Oakmont, which is funny. But he said, I remember the first day we were walking with the caddy master when we got hired, and he told me a story about lazily hitting out of the rough because he was irritated with his play, and he actually ended up fracturing his wrist. And that holds up because Phil mentioned that this rough is unsafe and that I think he did injure his wrist here at some point, Phil did, but yeah, so a little tidbits there. I really like the best, try to do your best to be below the hole. Just some interesting tidbits there of people who have firsthand experience at Oakmont.
For sure. I mean, I think in an usual U.S. Open, the way that the USG sets this up, and not the PGA Tour, it's a USGA event. They love usually around even or around par is what they go. And it's usually a bomber. A lot of models that I've run in the past have been driving distance, just hit it down there far, similar to like a wing foot that you'll hear. But this course is not actually just a bomb and gouge type course. Even Bryson DeChambeau has told that there. And I actually went back and looked at like DJ's final round back in 2016. And, I mean, he did hit a lot of driver and wedges, so it's not even like a straight long iron game as well. But I think the back nine is a little bit more strategic, little mid-irons, putting an iron out there, keep it out of this rough there. Obviously, into the par threes, I mean, DJ even hit a three-wood into one. He added a four-iron. He hit a two-iron into one. He hit a three-wood into that 289-yard there. Long and straight will work a lot of times on a lot of courses, especially this week. But I think you got to watch out for that runoff in those fairways. I think there's a lot of gradual hills on it. Think of Augusta with like uneven lies. I think even if when you hit it off the tee and you see that TrackMan and you see the line that they're taking, and then when they get down there, it rolls into the rough and they get a terrible lie. I'm looking at you like Tyrell Hatton, right? He's gonna be pissed off that it's gonna be there. So who can keep their edge, right? Who's gonna just keep it level, right? Who's not going to get too high, who's not going to get too low. There's not going to be many birdie streaks out there. Wouldn't be surprised if somebody goes low one of the days just on a calm day and kind of gets one going. 8,000 square feet greens, but a lot of runoff areas, right? A lot of places that you hit these balls on these greens, it's not going to stay on there. I've also heard a big one this week is that they cut the grass, cut the rough around these bunkers. Usually they like to protect the players a little bit, put it into the rough instead of the bunkers. They kind of eliminated that this week. So a lot of key things to look at, and I know that Sammy's done and is itching to get you some names there as well, and I'll give you some trends who will match that as well. But before we do that, I got to let you know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete. And we're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. If you like this show, Mike Rickard, the founder of the Tampa Bay St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, he's got plenty of other shows for you to check out as well. You'll take a break tomorrow, read our newsletter on thebetterclubhouse.com, and then come on down to Ferg's and also check us out at Sea Dogs. Not sure where we'll have to be. You'll hit me up on X to see where you can catch us live there. But Thursdays, we do On the Tee Florida. Have some great interviews there. We recently interviewed Brittany Lincecum there, who finished, just missed the cut at the shop right there. We have great, we've interviewed Joe Madden on that show before. We've had even had some Happy Gilmore moments on there as well. So really check that one out with Mike Rickard, John Rigger, and Bill Butner on that show. Friday, we got a little Bump That Media from the younger crowd there, giving you a little potpourri of all sorts of sports in the round table there. Now that all the high schools have kind of graduated, we'll see how where those guys go for the days of summer there. And then on Saturday, come on down to Ferg's for their headquarters for our flagship show, I like to call it, from 11 to 1 there. Plenty of great stuff, all about the Rays and all about the local stuff and all sports doing that as well. Always great thing. Go out and follow us on all the socials, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio there. And just looking forward to it. Shout out to Mike Rickard there. I know he's on the DL, itching to get back in. And also, it's Father's Day week. Go out and join yourself. Hopefully you can catch some golf. Catch us here. And hopefully Sammy's about to list off some names. I know there's about seven of them that's getting a lot of people's money out there. But don't fall asleep on us here, because also at the end we'll give you some sports for NHL, NBA. And also you can't forget who are one and done and who's not going to win this week. So we'll have to do that there. But, yeah, Sammy, you reeled off a lot of things. I agree a lot. Total driving. Mid-iron to long-iron play. I think you need the full bag, per se. I mean, I'll just go right off the rip. Obviously, somebody who's almost plus 270, I saw it on ESPN as I was chowing down on my tacos and Champa Bay. Scotty Scheffler up top. I think Muirfield Village is a great class. I think that rough was tough. I think this one's going to be even rougher, or pun on terms there, but a lot worse to get out of. I see Scotty Scheffler is the guy to beat this week. That's not really saying a lot. So what are your other thoughts? Who are the other six that just are getting a lot of action this week that should play pretty well, you think?
I will say I haven't done this since Houston, but I'm really thinking about single barreling Scotty. I know less than 3-1 isn't really attractive, but as somebody that plays placement markets in the betting market, I'm just treating it like a placement market. You know what I mean? Like Scotty's floor, it feels like, is top three. So I don't know, something to consider. I haven't made any bets yet. Check the newsletter tomorrow for that. But among those players that I think most popular this week, obviously Bryson. If you haven't seen it, Bryson,
hey, before you go that way, I got a market here for the patrons here. I'm kind of curious. So right now, I'm seeing an offshore plus 285 for Scotty to win. Coming back on that, for Scotty not to win, you want to take a guess on those odds there, Sammy? Putting you on the spot here. Let's see if you know Matt.
Yeah, go for it. Minus 400.
Exactly right. Hey, that should deserve an applause there, Joe. You got to give the guy a hand on that one.
Wow.
A guy from Ohio pulling out that math. I mean, that is something there. I mean, even even Ryan Day would love that action there. But, yeah, minus 400 for him not to win. If you had to bet one of those, I think you'd be silly to put $400 to win $100 on Scotty not to win versus put $100 on Scotty to win, and then you walk away with 2.85 farms as a fellow personality I love to hear do that as well. Yeah. So, but yeah, Scotty Scheffler there, but didn't mean to cut you off, but I did see that in another market. And that's also another thing. Check out other markets that are out there. And if you have, if you see a betting market you like, hit us up at www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Happy to give you some insights. Also hit us up on our socials as well. Happy to do a deep dive on that. But yeah, Sammy, let's hear the other names that might fire up this week.
It's interesting with Scotty because at Scotty, Rory, Bryson, I think some would argue John Rahm as well this week, are the guys that unanimously across the industry everybody's talking about the best chance to win. And as somebody that has gotten into F1, I bet F1, I watch F1 every race, it really feels the same. If you're an F1 fan, and I know there might be some fans down there because they have the F1 Miami event, it's really Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris, and Max Verstappen every week. It's one of those guys. You pick one of those guys, that's most likely going to be the winner. The Lewis Hamiltons of the world will come out sometimes and threaten to win. But, it feels like almost the exact same type of situation. But Sammy, outside of those, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can I give you a leak course? So not so fast, my friend. So 12 of the last 16 U.S. Open winners were first-time major champions. Also, 7 of the last 9 winners at Oakmont, first-time major champions as well. Unfortunately, we know that Scotty not only has Quail Hollow from that PGA Championship as well, so it is known on a tougher track, on a tougher conditions like Oakmont, you might see a random one-off winner, heaven forbid we say a Patrick Cantlay or somebody who just hasn't really struck in through, or maybe a Joachim Niemann or something like that. So I wouldn't say it's fully scripted. I think Scotty, you mentioned this as well, as far as going back to Augusta and where we put most of our money, that is the course where you bet Scotty, right? And I think when you talk about Jack's Place, I call it Scotty's Place now, at Memorial, like you did for your one and done, you put your money on Scotty there. At Oakmont, maybe not. I mean, Scotty did finish 41st last year at the U.S. Open. So, I mean, as much as I want to click the button, there are some names further down that interest me as well. But obviously, I think it's in the wide range of possibilities. More times than not, Scotty Scheffler is going to be there with his baby and wife and all that good stuff on 72nd, right?
So yeah, let me ask you this. Of the players that are 10,000 or more in DraftKings, so basically Scotty, Rory, okay, Bryson, Rahm, Xander,
okay,
are you betting any of those five?
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of love right now. I loved him last week. You did, too. He did not win again. He got a high finish again. I'm talking about Mr. Rombo, right? I'm talking about John Rahm.
Yep.
He's up there again. I mentioned it during the PGA. The guy's just not closing out tournaments. We saw it on Sunday at Quail. Like, he's just not getting it over. Now, this week is a little different, right? You're not going to have to make birdies down the stretch to do that. So we'll have to see. He's very popular in the market. Out of those names, I'd probably go John Rahm. It's probably the name I would go to. I do think when you mentioned that you could spray it off of off the world here and miss wide misses are okay. That does help Bryson DeChambeau. But I would not go Rory McIlroy. Out of those names you mentioned, he's going to be DFL on my list. Then I would probably go Xander just with the injuries. I do like his distance. I just don't think his game is sharp as much right now. Then I would probably go Bryson. Then I would go Rory. And then I would go Rahm. And number one would have to be Scotty Scheffler. You agree with that ranking at least?
Yeah, I totally do. Of the top five guys, I think I'm leaning towards Bryson over Rahm.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because of the YouTube video, but I feel like he has seen the course a little bit more. I also like that he's been in actual contention of multiple majors. I know Rahm was in contention at Quail. He fell off because he was pin hunting, but I mean, Bryson was in the final group with Rory. He had all that pressure on him when everybody wants Rory to win the Masters. So I like that Bryson has been right there.
Question for you, Sammy. Question for you. When was the last back-to-back U.S. Open champion?
I don't know. I was just going to mention it's probably probably not often, if at all, that somebody's gone back-to-back at
Brooks
the
Koepka.
U.S. Open.
Maybe Brooks Koepka?
Yeah.
Brooksy?
Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of the Florida Panthers, that man, he's falling off.
He's got a sash.
He cares more Yeah, he cares more about the Stanley Cup.
2017, 2018, that would be Mr. Brooks Koepka, Brooks Cupcake, Florida State alum. Got to give the love there. 2017, 2018, don't back Brooks Koepka this week, I'll tell you that much. His form was a lot better back in March. T33 last week as well. So, something for Bryson, right? You go back-to-back. But similar to even Bobby Mack last week at RBC Canadian Open there, these are far different courses, right? This is not a Pinehurst number two. This is a totally different track compared to that, right, Sammy?
Yeah, totally agree. Pinehurst has its own difficulties, but this place is also a beast in and of itself. It probably helps Bryson that he has played Oakmont. He played here in 2016. He did finish top 20. And he did lead the tournament at one point. So, man, I really – for somebody – for the odds to have Scotty at less than 3-1, you think we would get the second guy at least 10-1. If it was 10-1, Bryson, I would have already bet it at this point.
Well, let's stay there. Let's stay in that conversation there as we look at one and done, our competition here. Basically, one and done is you're taking odds off the board, right? This guy, Sammy's been on a tear right now. He was not on a tear. He was actually tearing this guy's head apart, Ricky Castillo, as he missed the cut there and kind of ruined his Scottie Scheffler win there. I did have Sugar Shane Lowry. He got me almost 200K there, but Sammy's up. I did crack. I mean, I'm only 4.9 million behind. I do lead him in weeks 7-5. But just looking at a name there, Sammy, as you look across the names that you've already selected, just for the patrons there, no odds selecting. You could only pick one player each tournament there. He's already picked Rory McIlroy, winner at Augusta. He's already picked Bryson DeChambeau, T2 at the PGA Championship. No pressure there, Sammy. You've already got one, too. Patrons are wondering who you got this week for your for one and done.
Yeah, I had Scotty at Memorial, too, so there's a lot of pressure on me here, and I think I have to go Rom.
Yeah. No, I respect it. I took what did I pick? Scotty at Augusta, and I haven't picked Rory McIlroy. Here's a shocker for everybody. I'm not picking Rory McIlroy this week.
No.
I have picked Xander, actually picked Bryson. So we have it there. I mean, for me, out of those names we just listed there, I'm going to go it's a good question. Let's see. I'm actually going to go off the board. No, I'm going off the board. This is actually a guy who I'm going to bet. Sammy doesn't know. It's actually a segue into our next segment, which I really love. And that's going to be Mr. The Big Swede himself. I'm going Ludvig Åberg this week. I really liked what he did Sunday at Memorial. I really like what he did north of the border last week, putting four solid rounds together there. I think he's a silent assassin this week. I think he's kind of that next tier of those guys we haven't mentioned yet. But when you put on a comp course that I really like is Torrey Pines. Once again, you did mention the POA greens. Those are West Coast POA, but John Rahm's played well over there. Definitely difficult golf course when you get it into the rough. My question is the round to green play, but long and straight's going to help Ludvig, and I really like his I like him to just irons and just I think his Demeter is going to be there. I really like him. Silent Assassin, the Big Swede. I'm going to take Ludvig Åberg versus Sammy taking John Rahm there. Do like John Rahm. Might even bet that. But definitely love those two guys this week. And almost as much.
Hey.
Yeah. And before you say that, Sammy, I know you want to say it. But before I say that, let's just let the patrons know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And you're listening to the Better Clubhouse Live. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here, 13th and Central, downtown St. Pete, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on, check us out. I hear some karaoke in the background, live music, plenty of TVs to catch the action. Sammy, unfortunately, the Red Sox have put up two runs in the bottom of the second there, lead 2-0 over our Rays there. But if you like our final segment here, we're going to be bringing up also, still got some more U.S. Open to talk as well. And if you miss anything or you want to go back, catch us out on Spotify tomorrow. Also, sign up for our newsletters at www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Sammy, I heard something right on the tip of your tongue. What were you going to let the patrons know?
I actually really like that Swede, the Ludvig Åberg pick. Last two tournaments, he's gained in four of the five major categories, and he's gained ball striking in two straight events after really struggling with the irons. So
he's had a weird season. I mean, we go back and he was vomiting on the in the rough at Torrey, and then COVID hits, and they go back to Torrey, and he wins,
and
then he's kind of been bad. He was bad at the Players, bad at Valero. He's just had weird results, right? He finished seventh at Augusta, but what I will say,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. At Augusta could have been better. If you remember, I think he
quadrupled the 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody with the top five is still angry. I don't know if they'll go back to him there, but I will say, and this is a young stud there as we look there, but I mean, he's only played in six majors. He's got a second place at Augusta, seventh place at Augusta, and actually last year at a U.S. Open, 12th. So, I mean, he's right there. I love the ball striking that you mentioned there.
His season's
been up and down all over, but for the talent that this guy has and the mentality and that long and straight, I think he's peaking at the right time. I don't know if he'll win. We'll have to see. Obviously, Scotty is up there as well. Maybe a Scotty Swede exacta, maybe flipping it this time, where Scotty won when he finished second. Maybe Sweet can finish first and Scotty finish second there. But Joe, check out our newsletter. Catch out all the bets there. Sammy, what's another name further down the board just for the patrons before we get into some other sports that you haven't maybe locked in, but just a couple other names to throw out there that kind of fit your model this week?
Yeah, so I was really looking hard at Sepp Straka given the way that he's played this year. He's a multi-time winner this year. And he's extremely accurate off the tee. So I was looking at him, but his odds have gotten absolutely crushed. I think I saw he was like 30 or 35 to 1 at this point.
Yeah.
He was over 50 to 1 before. So I also saw that I had a trend here. I have so many trends written down.
Well, as you're looking into those trends, go for it.
I have it here. Only three of the previous 10 winners of the U.S. Open have had a win in the calendar year leading up to the event. So Sepp has two of them.
Yeah.
I've missed the boat on the odds there.
Yeah.
But somebody I really am taking a conscious look at is Jordan Spieth.
I love it. Yeah.
His driver has really been a strength of his game recently. And while he can get squirrely off the tee, I don't know. I think Jordan just has the type of ceiling where if everybody's on a level playing field where it's playing extremely difficult, given his odds right now, I think he's going to be somebody I sprinkle with a win in each way type situation.
Yeah, I love that. I think when I look at my trends there, what I will say, there's only been one single digit in the last 10 U.S. Opens. Only one has had single digit odds as the winner. That was a guy you just mentioned, 2015, Jordan Spieth there.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that was to be number two for Scotty. Maybe it's just a trend there that bucks there. Also, nine of the last 10 winners of a U.S. Open, they had a top 10 in the last four starts. Just speaks to that current form, live or not. Also, 80%. That's a big number. 8 out of 10 were first round leaders were in that morning wave. So keep an eye on that as well. And then lastly, my top 10, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Sepp Straka, you just mentioned, Doug Gim, Corey Connors, Thorbjørn Olesen, Bobby Mack, Nick Taylor, Ryan Fox, J.J. Spahn. A lot of total driving in there. A lot of big players there. Colin Morikawa, I don't really like the fit this week. I don't like where I'm seeing mentally. I think the stats are there. Maybe next week it's a little bit better track. I think he's actually had a good track record there. Love the Sepp Straka there that you mentioned. Curious to see what Corey Connors can do. Maybe a top 10.
Yeah, he models well this week.
He's probably not going to win, but top 10 out there, top 20, maybe top Canadian. I know that Nick Taylor's been playing really well. He actually was right up there last week as well with previous winner Ryan Fox. So I've been modeling the 7 years of the U.S. Open. Three wins, 2 seconds, 2/3. Check out that. Looking forward to that as well. One name I'll throw out there that I – kind of circling around will probably be let's see. So right now we have over 20 players in our deep dive that will be released tonight, later, right after this show as well. A name that kind of intrigued me just based on what I was seeing there would be one. I'll let you hold on to that one. So
I have something for you here.
Yeah, go for it.
So you gave me that 80% first round leader tee time.
Yep.
So Pat Mayo, who is a big talking head in the golf podcasting space, had Andrew Novak on this week. Actually, Andrew Novak's caddy used to be a club caddy here at Oakmont, and he's teeing off at 7:29 a.m. So I could almost guarantee that Andrew Novak, first round leader with five places, is going to be on my card this week.
Love that. And that just gave me the perfect segue just to do a little scroll of our deep dive there. I think a player that's really been playing well, I mean, I just come back to this player over and over again, and that's Sepp Straka. So as much as you don't like the odds for the win, I think a first-round leader bet for that. I mean, a third miscut, first, 12th there, and on comp courses, a third, two top fives there. Sepp Straka I'll lock in for a first-round leader bet. I don't know if he'll be there at the end of the day on Sunday, but we'll be there for that. Love to see that. So, Sammy, let's shift gears a little bit. Final 10 minutes. Okay. We told the crowd there, obviously, more golf. We're going to put out some more U.S. Open content each and every day. We'll do some buy and sells. We'll do plenty of that stuff. But shifting gears a little bit, let's get a little bit of other sports action to say. One thing we have to give out is let's do another round of applause there, Joe Geiger, there. And that's to you, Mr. Bob Bauer. I really hope you're lined, turned it up. Bob's Barnes Bets, one of the three B's there. Love that. I mean, this guy had the greatest Triple Crown race run that I can imagine from a gambling perspective there. Hit on Sovereignty on Saturday with a great race there, plus 185. Cash that for the patrons. Just missed out on a trifecta. There's some guy named Journalism got in the way there, but he definitely had Beza right there as well. He mentioned 2-6. Journalism just got in the way of his exacta there. But shout out to Bob. Really looking forward to having him back on the show. Not only to, as we, the races are all around, so we'll have to get him on, especially for the Tampa Bay down season later this fall as well. So really looking forward to that. Also a shout out, hopefully next week, little tease, should have a former NHL player on the show to talk the NHL finals. He's been in the Edmonton and Calgary farm system as well. So really looking forward to that. He's hoping that the series doesn't go crazy. Unfortunately, last night it was a bloodbath for the Florida Panthers there, just a runaway. Did like seeing the scrap at the end there. I know you've been kind of feasting on the over right there, Sammy, in the NHL.
Yeah, I have. I have. And actually, yesterday it was kind of interesting because I didn't think it was going to hit there, but it hit finally in the third period. But the first period, there were seven power plays and only one goal on the seven power plays combined. So I thought it was kind of dead in the water there. I had the over to close out of the parlay with the Spain and Portugal Nations League final, both teams to score.
That was a fire and one, the, by the way, and penalty kicks there. It was
sick. It was. Yeah. And then the NBA over in game two, which got there on a bucket in the last 20 seconds of a blowout.
So I know you were big on Edmonton game one, so congrats on that hitting last week as well. Just so game four in Sunrise, I believe on Thursday, what are your thoughts? You still like Edmonton to kind of bounce back, or are you seeing them go 3-1? If they go down 3-1, it's hard to see.
With this
Florida Panthers team. And as my former buddy, NHL player there, my coworker nowadays, as he mentioned, the Panthers, they can play 1-0, they can play 5-4, whatever you want, they'll show up. What are your thoughts on the series at this point there, Sammy?
So I actually shouldn't say that it's over if they go down 3-1 because the Panthers were up 3-0 last year and it ended up going to seven games. So maybe
not
it's
so
not
fast,
over.
My friend. Another Lee Corso.
Not so fast to the great Lee Corso, who's doing his last show this year in week one of the season. The body language was so poor last night for the Oilers, wasn't it?
It was.
Halfway through the second period, all they cared about is cross-checking and hurting somebody, it seemed.
I guess the former NHL player said there's always one game in a series that you can write off, right? It's kind of odd. It just doesn't match. He's thinking that was last night. Right, I think so. He's expecting the series to still be tough. He is keeping an eye on the goalie situation for Edmonton. They've kind of bounced back and forth throughout these playoffs of whoever's the hot goalie. Obviously, Skinner was not too hot last night. He's hoping they go back to Skinner. We'll keep his insights, but really looking forward to that conversation there. And as we kind of transition over to the NBA, obviously it was all about Halliburton after game one. This guy's going to the Hall of Fame. This guy can't do any wrong. He's got the run of all ages. And then what happens game two? Down 20 at halftime there. What are you seeing for game four there? You think they're going to even it up, or kind of what are the thoughts as we trickle down to actually game three? Sorry about that.
And then
as we go into as they go into Indiana, what are your thoughts in that series? Anything to make do from those first two games?
So I think Halliburton is using that anonymous poll as motivation, where people said he was the most overrated player. The anonymous player poll, where apparently peers voted him as the most overrated player in the NBA. He's using that as fuel. Okay. Interesting, though, he was seen limping after game two. I'm not really sure what to make of that, but both of these teams, the Thunder and the Pacers, have really struggled in game threes of playoffs this year. The Thunder are 1-2 straight up, 0-3 ATS in game threes, including that 41-point loss to Minnesota and then a 12-point loss at Denver. Pacers, similarly as bad, 0-3 straight up, 0-3 ATS in game threes. However, this is the only time the Pacers are coming into a game three off a loss this season. They've been very good off losses in these playoffs, 4-0 straight up in ATS. So average margin of victory, almost 20 points. So being at home in Indiana, I think I like the Pacers to at least cover. I also really like Aaron Nesmith. He's 7 of 15 from three this series. He hasn't scored over 15 points yet in one of these games, but he has scored at least 15 points twice in all of the series leading up to this one. So I think this is one of those marquee Aaron Nesmith games coming up. Wouldn't be surprised to see him hit 4 or 5 threes, score 20 points. But I'm looking at the Aaron Nesmith 15-plus points market, as well as the Pacers to cover the spread tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I love I think the Pacers' first game, obviously Indiana's going to be pumped, really excited to do that. I still think OKC takes that series. I think they're just the better team, I think, over seven games there. So, and then if I'm going back on the ice there, I probably think I'd love to see Edmonton continue there. But no, I think Florida's going to be too much personally. I just don't trust that goalie situation. So I'd probably parlay those two, add in Scottie Scheffler if you want to do that.
Oh.
And just give a little snippet. Just I know this is kind of unscripted. I'm putting Sammy on the spot there. But just give it like a little quick glimpse. I did mention A-Rod for the Steelers signed. He's going to wear number 8, 1-year deal there. Just what are your general insights? What's one hot take you might have that you might fire up for the NFL season, just based on what you've kind of seen, read, and maybe from a little projections that you have? And Sammy is going to be doing all this for NHL coming up as well. So it's not really on the hot stove right now, but it's definitely it's going to be out there. Obviously, he's got all his attention on the U.S. Open, but anything kind of you're intrigued about right now, Sammy, as you start to kind of learn more about these teams?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a hot take, but I'm going to be putting money on the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair bet for sure. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, week one preseason. You got it right there. Also, game one, right? They're playing the...
Speaking of...
Yeah.
God, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, just saying like week one with they're playing the Baltimore Ravens. That's a rematch right there as well. So we should really see a glimpse of that. I'm seeing Buffalo out there. With like the third best odds right now, I'm seeing as far as the rankings that I look at. Number one, Baltimore Ravens. Number two, Philadelphia Eagles to repeat. And then next would be Buffalo right ahead of KC there. But yeah, what were you going to say, Sammy?
You mentioned week one of the preseason. It's actually funny you mentioned that because I'm living in Charlotte now. I'm from Cleveland. The Browns will be in Charlotte playing the Panthers in week one of the preseason. And I think a hot take here is, I'm going to say that Shedeur Sanders starts more games at quarterback than any other quarterback for the Browns this season.
Wow. Okay.
I saw a presser today, and I think he's maturing, like right before his eyes, being away from Deion a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of humbling experience being a fifth round pick, being down the leaderboard or down the depth chart. I would put money on Shedeur starting more games than the other quarterback for the Browns.
I also saw on the bottom line on ESPN, as I was chowing down on some tacos in Champa Bay, apparently Deion Sanders has some health issues. going on currently as well. Don't know when he'll be back. So shout out to Primetime there. He definitely did us dirty, Joe, on FSU and taking Travis Hunter and all those guys from us as one of the most famous nil steals in there. But wish him well. And, yeah, Sedarius Sanders. See if you can find a line out there, Sammy. Go ahead and tag the Better Clubhouse. See if we can get a market out there. But final minute here, Sammy. Where can people see and get all your great content, not only for the Better Clubhouse, where can they reach you on the socials too?
Yeah, on X is primarily where I'm posting, at Sammy Avbets, SammyAvbets. Follow us at the Better Clubhouse on X and Instagram. We're going to be more active there. We're going to start doing some gift card giveaways to our followers. So if once we get to that benchmark of 50 followers on X, let's do a giveaway there to one of our patrons, and let's start building this thing a little bit more. So follow us on X and Instagram.
Yeah, couldn't agree with that more. We love what we're kind of here. We're hitting all the content. We're getting all the sports. We're getting in the dog days of summer there. But really looking to U.S. Open. Hit us up on www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Check out all our great content from all the great week. Always shout out to Sammy for joining us on the Better Clubhouse here each and every Tuesday from First Sports Bar and Grill. And for that, you've been listening to the Better Clubhouse, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast live from the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For Sammy Sharps, Joe Geiger on the controls, Radio St. Pete, Joe Berdow, and the mastermind behind Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, the Iowa legend himself, Mike Rickard, thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.